Lord bless your hearts. He's really real, isn't he? Well, that's really great. Lord, we come to church for one thing. Oh, that's to tell you how wonderful you are. Oh, eternal life, you can't buy it. There's no way, Lord, you gave it to us. We got it. Now we follow through what you tell us to do. Now touch even the new ones or anybody out there, Lord, that needs guidance. In the time that we live in, the devil has thrown so many firestones here and there in confusion that the people, when they go this way, it looks wrong. When they go that way, it looks wrong. It looks like they can't make a right decision because they write me sometimes and they write from here. But, Lord, that's only that you'll nudge them where they're supposed to be. Satan's actually working for you and he don't know it. He's so dumb, he don't know it. I guess Satan's a fertilizer around the flowers that make us grow so pretty for you. Amen. They made all the prophets. It didn't come easy. The prophets. And all of the good saints will be that way too. If you're not tested, you're not a saint of God. I don't care who you are. Amen. And he said they'll come forth. Yes, sir. They'll come out of there. But he said they must be proven, tried, as gold is tried, Lord, in the fire. And boy, that gets hot, Lord. That purges, I tell you. Oh, and they get through with it. It looks pretty good. It's pretty valuable, too. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. And then the Lord, you know, paved the streets with it to prove that scripture about that character. He's just going to show you when you get there. You see what got you here? The character. Amen. Burned in the fire. Come forth as gold. How many of you believe it? See, he's going to walk on that to show you. You'll never forget it. I want this part of the prayer for my partners, all of the nations and everywhere. I want the technician to leave this on, everything that I've said. I want him to leave it on here, the prayer and all. And I pray for them all over the world. Oh, how they want my prayers. Oh, they wish, they tell me there was a billion places like they hear on the cassettes. All over the earth, they said it would be over with. But there's not a billion places like this. And how wonderful. They got my books and pictures of it, and they daydream. A lot of them are older people, too, and a lot of them so far away. And they kind of daydream about this place like heaven, like, boy, that must be something. But you know the Bible teaches you, when you're around it quite a bit, and what, you just start taking it for granted. But that's Scripture. And the disciples around Jesus, and pretty soon they went to arguing a little bit. And the great master, you know, he could just create and do that, and pretty soon he had trouble with his own disciples. Isn't that human nature? That ought to show you that you ought to beat him up like Paul said every morning, every night if you have to. He said, I die daily is the only way I've whooped the flesh. God. Now, I think it's my sixth straight service, something like that. The reason you think I'm gone by the time is I've been over there three of them, and you missed me. But I found out one thing when you show those other type films, you know, the great power of the messages is when they come through, it's not quite as powerful because it doesn't get on the people, but it's good. We had great miracles. Had bumps disappear. I don't know what all happened. Christ, and different things in the body. Now, we'll get right down in here and go ahead and be seated. You've been wonderful. Every one of you have been good to me and kind to me. And waiting on to see which way the Lord wants. You know, he dropped back from so great a revelatory messages. I gave so many on film, and I'll try to get back later if he will. So many on film and so many on audio and on the scrolls, prophetic, so much of that. And he's dropping back from that. If you haven't, you know, got the message on it, you never will get it. Amen? And he's now going to plant this a little bit so that you can grow with it. What good, you know, if you repent all you want, and then you don't back it up. How many of you know what I mean? Repentance is really good in the heart, but then you just have to turn around and back it up in witnessing and prayer and all these things, you know, or you'll sit around and you become self-righteous. That's exactly right. Now, that's great. Now, not alone. Christians today see big organizations and big gatherings and big banquets and big this and big that. And some older people live alone and singles live alone and it's lonely. And in the day that we live in. And Christians, because they have so much disagreements with the real word of God, but Jesus told you, if they done it to me, what will they do to you at the end of age? If they done this, he said in the green tree, he said, what will they do at the end of the age? Amen. How many of you believe that? And the dry. It'd be worse. They disbelieve you worse, nearly, in pockets. Although it looked like a great revival swept the earth. We already had one. But it's filtering out. And the latter rain is coming to the field that is his. He may not rain on the others like that. He didn't promise to rain on the whole world exactly like that, but he will bring a powerful rain. But on the field especially will be more rain, and it will come down the latter in the former, and it will come on a field that's called the elect. And you can practically see the waves just rolling out across that field. I did, and the master in the middle of it. See, come on now. We're getting close to the end of age. And he told me, you know, the more you preach it to them, the less some people will believe it. And he said, I told him at the end of age, with great urgency, that he's coming soon. I will return. Behold, I come quickly. 3 times before he closed the book. We know that. Now, let's get down here. Not alone. The believer is never alone. I don't care who you are, where you come from, how lonely the devil makes you, and what people say, and the circumstances, you are not alone. Now let me see. I preached on this right here, down here. Jesus' presence, oh how wonderful. Christ said this, I will be with the believer even unto the end of this age, world. Meaning that he would bypass, take up the elect and the few that were scattered in tribulation, he would still, and the Jew believer, Revelation chapter 7, he would be there and never leave you. He said, you will not be alone. So you can't tell the Lord, I'm so lonely, the Lord's a million miles. The human nature's always been a million miles, saith the Lord. Oh my God. See, further than that, it's been much further than that. And the fact is this, the presence of God is there, and the human nature will make you think that he's not when he's there in a strong way. And it is coming in a different way than people really think, but it's coming. Now, I have a cross-section all across the country and everywhere, and I'd like to get what their ideas are in just a moment here. I've been doing it. I can't get away from 2 types of works, but I'm going to try to get caught up so that I can get once in 30, 25 years on the writing a break from that there in there. Now, we'll go right here and tell the rest of the story that I was going to tell you people about one night. All right, now. So, at the end of the age, to be in the midst. Not only we never leave or forsake the elect right straight on through until the Armageddon, what's ones was left over, and I surely don't want to be in that group, and you can't try to get in that group. He'll have those chosen same as he has the elect. You'll probably wind up some of them in the middle of it and can't get nowhere. Stick with this word and get in the first group. Amen. You got a chance. How many of you believe it? All right, and that'll be taking care of itself there. So, promised at the end of the age. And he will be in the midst of the believer. Now, that's not in the midst of your body, but that's in the midst of that ones that love him. He'll stick to them. And you can't tell me you're alone, because you can't be. He's not only going to forsake you, but he's going to be in the midst of you. How in the world can you lose him? You cannot lose him. The flesh can lose him. Satan can hide him. Satan can do all kinds of things that he wants to. But he is in the midst of the believer. Inside the single believer, powerful. Inside the group here today and the group of believers, he's in the midst. That means he is a central figure in the golden candlesticks. It also means that in the midst is where he's going to do his work. He is the sun in the midst of the heavens as he shines down out of the bride chamber. You watch and see. He's in the midst. Now, shall come, not only be in the midst, won't leave you, shall come to comfort the believer that the flesh says is impossible, and the people full of anxieties, and the people full of this and full of that, and they wring their hands not knowing which way to turn, and Satan has got them confused. But he said, I shall come to comfort the believer. Now notice, that's not the make-believer. It's not the ones that halfway believe, but the believer. Believe me, there's very few believers. How many of you believe that? There's very few believers now. And when they really believe, that means they may not get a prayer answered all of the time, just bang, bang, but that believer will get it. He'll finally catch that fish. You'll get him. You'll get him. That believer will get it, and the believer will hold on to that. I shall come to comfort the believer. Though Christ Jesus goeth away. Now make sure, to the disciples, you're going to face trials, and so are the people of the world. I will come again. Now, he didn't go anywhere. He just changed dimensions. back into the Holy Spirit, because how can God come and go? We use the terms, and he uses the terms because it's human nature and worldly. He changed, and like you would turn a set and another cable come on from millions of miles away by satellite or whatever it is. He just changed into another, he went away from them, and he disappeared from them for a moment. They walked back in the room again through the door. See? So, he will be right with you. I goeth away, but I cometh again. That's to kind of let them know that for a moment they wouldn't see him. He would change in another dimension, and the wind bloweth where it wants to. And then they notice the Holy Spirit, and he breathed upon them. Whew. See, one time. And in the book of Acts, they were carried up into the chamber. And the Holy Spirit fire fell on every one of them. It fell on every one of them. Now, though Christ goeth away, he changes in dimension. Boy, and he cometh again. And I will send the Spirit of truth. And he shall come in my name, Jesus. And there I will comfort you. And in the veil of the Hebrews, and in the veil of the Lord shall come upon his people. I will give him rest. And the people of God, there is a rest. Satan says, the world is restless. Everything's restless. But he said, I will give you rest. So he will give you rest at the end of the age when everything seems to be shaken apart, flying one way and flying the other way and flying this way and flying that way. You won't be shaken apart. You will hold on to that rest. See, confusion, anxiety, it didn't start running around like that and so forth like that. And then it says here, Jesus to manifest himself to the believer. Meaning that those gifts, those fruits of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and all of that together will begin to work. And I will manifest myself. That means that before the end of the age, that you'll begin to see certain manifestations. Certain things with your own eyes, probably. Certain attributes. Certain glories. God will reveal them, and I will manifest in healings, in miracles, signs, in glory, in angels, in power, in presence, and knowledge, and wisdom, and the fruits of the Spirit. And one glorious time, I will take them up. See, they'll be where he fixed it to where they're able to go up. Unless he does it, you'll go nowhere. You can do nothing without me, saith the Lord. Not a thing. How many of you believe that? If you try to do everything yourself, you haven't done anything, saith the Lord. You must listen. And without me, it'll never come out right. You have to have me. I will make it come out. It will work, saith the Lord. Do you believe that? See, organized systems had a better idea. They said, we got a better idea. We'll expand this kingdom this way, and we'll expand the kingdom this way. Well, now we know what they do now. They have confessionals, they have priests, they have this. The priest belongs right in the Pentecostal church, but then it's been given to the other. Go back to the Old Testament. And they have this, and they have that. And they have all kinds of systems, not blaming just one. They're all babbling out there. If they don't have the right, correct word, you have to call them babbling. They have to have the correct word. It manifested. They have to know who Jesus is. They have to really believe the power of the supernatural and be correct with the word. Otherwise, they're babbling. And that's all it is confusion, saith the Lord. Amen. And if they ever got the straight doctrine, it would straighten everything out. It would straighten a snake out. But see, they won't swallow it. They won't take that doctrine because it runs the people off and it runs the treasury down and they don't have no big crowd. But if you get in there and you tell the truth, you'll finally wind up with just what God's going to take up. How many of you believe it? Amen. That's exactly right. It's exactly right in there. Now, so through it goeth, he cometh again. He will manifest himself, and you're not alone. I will make my abode. I will live with you. Israel thought they was alone, and he factually said Israel dwelled alone. He called them away from all the nations like the elect, and he looked down from the mountains upon them, off of the mountains. He looked down. And they was in their numbers. They were tribed together. And they had the great supernatural God looking over them with two great prophets down there. Maybe three. Caleb was down there like a prophet, but Joshua was there waiting his turn, and Moses. And there he looked down upon them. And the elect, they're not alone. You may think you're dwelling alone. You're alone one way. You're separated from the people and the systems that'll drag you down. You're separated alone with God. But you're not alone because God is with you. Nobody's alone. The believer is never alone. Now, Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have controls of the keys of death and hell. Well, watch this. He was living, dead and living. He actually never really died. When he was dead, he was alive. They never killed his soul. He shed his body like somebody would shed a sheep. And so, you people in that audience out there, some of you, as long as you got that flesh on, you're partly dead. That's the seed of death on you. You can't shake it. It's on there. You get salvation potentially and power in you, you have life. But you don't really live, saith the Lord, until you shake the flesh and die. When you die, you truly live. You can't completely live with the flesh. You're half dead and you're half alive because that flesh is dying by the billions of cells and you begin to grow older. You go through your mid-age crisis. You go through all kinds of crises in your life. And you begin to grow older. God's got it fixed. Even Adam lived to be 960 in those days, but he had to die. He had to go on. He aged and he went on his way. Not as fast as we do today. God seen the wickedness of man so great that he couldn't allow it. He'd have been here 4,000 years ago. See, Christ wouldn't have hardly had a chance. But he cut it down like that and spaced it out 6,000 years is what it's all about. And computation and numerical value will show you why. And he'll come just at the appointed second that he has called on it there. So, at the end of the age, you are truly not alive completely until you're dead. The moment you die, you are alive forevermore, saith the Lord. That's right. You cannot dispute the scriptures. I am dead. I am alive. I am dead. I'm alive. They never killed his soul. He was alive all the time. His spirit never died. You cannot kill his spirit. Mankind cannot kill your spirit. He can kill your body, but he cannot kill the spirit God's going to take. And so Jesus, he was still alive while the body died. And when you die, you're still alive. The body just goes, and you're there with the Lord Jesus. So dead and alive. But you'll really not know what living is. You'll really not know what life is until you die, or saith the Lord, when you're translated in light, and that's coming soon. Then you'll know what life is the moment it strikes. In a twinkling, in a moment, when that change comes, you'll see the difference between what real eternal life is and what that he has given us upon this earth. And the differentials is so dramatic and so powerful until you'll try to shout to joy until he has to cool you off. And you'll say, well, why did not I do this beforehand? Well, Jesus would say there's where faith comes in. And he said at the end of the age, would I find that kind of faith? Sure, he's going to find it, he said, among a few elect. But on the earth, is why so many are left, is because they do not have that kind of faith that he said the elect would have. He mentioned the elect, and he would come to them speedily. But would he find any faith, the kind he's looking for? And so, if you had that kind of faith, you would be shouting the glory. You would be jumping and praising God. But as long as you think you got this flesh to live in, plenty to do, and all of this, and all that you've got to do, you just put it on the sideline. But actually, there's going to be, at the proper time, a lot of shouting. A lot of praising. Really heartfelt, soul reaching out to God just before that translation. They're going to be kind of like Elijah. He thought he was alone too until the angel cooked him some breakfast and talked to him. And he thought he was all alone out there and he was going to give up and told the Lord, let him die. See, like the elect gets, they're going to do this and that. But the next thing you know, boy, zip, the old lion wasn't dead yet. Zip. Man, he got a little food in him, went, he could walk 40 days, man, that was, he's tough. Man, that guy's tough. He walked 40 days and nights in there without any food. You sit down there by that cave, man, and here come the Most High, that little voice. And he's coming to that lake, and I'll tell you, if some of you have to give you a little special food, why, that'd be okay with me, wouldn't it be with you? Man, and he's going to get that elect down where he wants it, see. I mean, he can sharpen that thing down till it's like a point. And it'd be like on top of this cap where that arrow shoots up, you know. And he's going away, man. I mean, he's going to leave in them wings. And he's got to get them ready. He's got to get every one of you people that's ready there. Amen. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I am all of it. Satan's ruled out here. He took him away and slapped him around. Got rid of him. He controls it. Everything. Now, he wants to see on the earth after he made that statement how many's going to believe that. Well, he was in the midst of the seven gold candlesticks, showed that some believed it. But in the heart, God will get all of those in the beginning. He won't lose one, like I said, out of his hand the other night. And I'll just get over here to something else. You know, before I finish this, it's before you cross on the real life and you have to die to really get into that eternal life or translated. Evidently, I wrote, before the 21st century, the harvest will be completely over. Should be way before that. And people are just sitting around. We're getting closer. By the 21st century, that means before we finish this out here, over. And billions of souls will still not be saved according to the scriptures. Go ye into all the world, the Judea, and everywhere he said in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And all to the utmost parts of the earth. And yet, before we cross over into that century, billions, saith the Lord, billions will not have been saved. Witnessed to, but not saved. Now that's what's out there. And I wrote this. You might say we're entering the last hour of the Lord's final work. We must be diligent. Let us not fail him in his harvest work. He's making it plain. He's making where there's no mistake about it. And I do believe in the numerical values that it will not be far off and could be, as far as I'm concerned, now, tomorrow, or next year, or when, it'll be close. We're getting closer and closer. We can look at the nation. We see something going on they haven't seen since 1821, somewhere in there, or some of the things that are happening. And we see that after whatever comes out of that, and you watch my prophecy start clicking and popping, man. They've already in the 90s just ignited everything. All over the country, send the audios, mostly the publishing of the scrolls, some of those. But they say, I never seen people, now they're going to hear me too right here. I've never seen so many people in the mail that completely agree that I have hit it right on the head. And they can see it. And they've been here 80 and 90 years, 50, 40, 30, whatever it is. Some younger. They've been here for 80 and 90 years. They've seen different ages come and pass. But they see now the last chapters like I do. That what God told them, they've watched everything. And it's been true since 90 years. They've watched it. Some of them were here when he poured the first Pentecost out in 1904-5-6. They've watched it through Amy and they watched it clear on up through there. And they've watched it. And they don't believe that God's mercy is going to last any further than that century end up in there somewhere. We'll make a statement. We don't know the exact day and the hour. But he promised the elect that somehow the season would be in front of them. The signposts would be everywhere. The lukewarm virgins could see nothing, and the midnight cry went forth. And they cried and made a loud noise, but they didn't hear them. They didn't pay them no attention. Said, he cometh, go ye out to meet him. Not a one of them. They just sit there. See, they won't believe nothing. And yet, at the midnight hour, Jesus came. So we find out, we're closing this out. And again, in this message, which is not really a lot of prophecy because we've done so much of it. In this message here, in his presence and what he's doing, he wants that believer to witness, boy, even until the end of the age if you can, until he takes his bride up and then lets a few Jews and a few more witness right on straight on out. He's going to talk like the cross till he gets the last thief or the last one that's in trouble. He's going to get him. And you don't want to ever lose sight. You're not alone when you talk to somebody. If you start witnessing to somebody, you'll not be alone. That Holy Spirit ain't going to fail to let that person listen to that. That's one thing. When you start telling somebody something, you know he's going to be there. If you want to use that as symbolism to help you know that he's there, just start telling somebody about God. You don't think he's going to run off, do you? Ha ha, that's the Lord. How many of you believe that? And he traveled. Jesus, he didn't miss a thing. He caught everything in 3.5 years. He walked up to the well, the woman at the well. Do you think he missed her? Oh, no, she wasn't alone. Hey, sit down. He talked to her. He helped her. He had a messenger. He sent her on in to tell him. Same thing today. When you witness, Jesus will be sitting at the well with you. You may be talking to a woman that's been in deep trouble, a man that's been in deep trouble, a kid that's been in dope, narcotics, alcohol, but Jesus will be sitting on the well with you. Ask God, he won't let them get out. He'll tell them if they don't like it, well, of course, they're going to have to face him. And when they face him, they can't say, you never told me. And there'll be something say, 100 different voices saying to straighten up. See, they can't, he is the word. They'll be judged only by the word. He won't even really have to add to it nor take away from it. A scripture will just come out. We're judged by the word, which is Jesus. How many of you believe that? And that's what you'd be loved by. And the promises of the work of the Holy Spirit in that field, he will quicken that believer to do this. He shall testify and give him great power. He shall teach them all things to tell them about, like I've told you, tell them. He shall guide you into all truth. And he will give you, the believer, not alone, is the title. No believer is alone. He will give you power. You can feel it in the wind. It's coming. We're in the thunders nearly. And in there, we know when they crucified Christ, he let out something. And it was quiet. He was quiet. It was dark. The old lion of the tribe of Judah had been put down, it looked like. The old lion had laid down his tools and they thought they was finished. But you know what? If you shoot one, you better make sure you put him away. He'll get you if you go after him. And then, in Revelation 10, they done that to him. And he told them that blood be upon them and the children, and every one of them disagreed with him around the world, even today. Revelation 10, it said that he come down. Angelic form. The cloud and the rainbow and all the deity, you can't get away from. Most me prophetic writers say that. Shoot, you can't get away from that fire on his feet. He come down in there. And boy, he let loose where they had stung him. That reminded him of the cross, a wounded lion. And when he was stung, he roared. And when he roared, as if a lion roareth, and then the sting of death that they hit him with. And boy, he come back. And seven thunders began to go off. When they killed him, they set in motion power that they never dreamed of. And in them seven thunders, boy, them lightnings begin to flash. He become the Almighty out of that lion that had been wounded to death. He arose again. He was a lion of the tribe of Judah, and John was sitting there. And the seven thunders uttered their voices to the elect. And he told John, you can hear it, John. You're one that can keep a secret, too, is why you're on this island. When you laid your head on my breast, I made you different. You can hold the secrets in your heart. How many of you believe that? He said, John, your anointing won't change for that. There is an anointing of those seven thunders and lightnings. It's so powerful, it's going to cause the change of the elect. You can't put it on the pen. You take what you heard. You leave it blank on a scroll. The Greek says it was a scroll. They didn't know what books were in those days. That's something made up at the end of time. English and all that. It all means scroll. If you put them all together, you might call it a book, but they didn't. We had the printing press call that. And on that scroll, what you heard, John, you do not write it down. you seal that up like Daniel sealed his book up, I will have a time that I will come and reveal it. The devil don't know it because he was nowhere near where God was. You see, he can only be near where God is if God allows him to come there. He said, hey, Satan didn't know it. He called him up for it. Have you considered my servant Job? He knew what he was coming for. He'd been wanting to get there for a year, and he kept him off probably. He knew all about his coming and going, didn't he? Amen. He could only come when God let him come, and then he told him what he wanted. John on Patmos, Satan was not around there nowhere, except the vision showing the death and destruction later. And God said, you seal that up, John. That part of the Bible is left out. I don't know how many words was said in the thunders, but if we know God, he is like the psalmist, scripts. It was piece by piece, just little small pieces, because seven of them rattled, wham, and thundered. And that great lion that was stung, if you take a lion and sting him, he'll roar. And that's what was involved in that. He's fixing to get back at them that stung him. And in the thunders, he's coming to get those that love him. So, seal it up. Like Daniel, the books are both apocalyptic. They both copy one another. They both stay the same. Added information is given by John, but they're both the same. And at the end of age, I'll pass by my elect, and I will reveal to them those thunders like you would to a bride, elect, something secret. You wouldn't give it to the rest of the world. You hide it, and then you put it on her finger. Behold, she makes herself ready. Whatever that in them thunders is going to make you ready. And he says, now, John, here's the other secret. Lift one hand up towards the heaven, one hand down below the earth. Here comes the secret to the translation, John, to the tribulation, to the great day of the Lord, to the millennium. Here it comes, like a rocket, piece by piece. First, the elect. And he lifted his hands up after he told John not to write them thunders. We know what it was. There was a time element given somehow that not even John understood all of that. And he lifted his hands towards heaven and earth after he thundered with that great lion. And he said, time shall be no longer. Meaning it was running out. There shall be no more delay is the real rendering. And he set in motion. It didn't stop right there, but somebody left this earth, saith the Lord, right there. He didn't, oh, you say, where'd they leave? Well, then you missed it. They were gone. And he come on down through there. And you know, all of a sudden, he talked that in the days the voice of the seventh angel Christ and the messengers, or any message. And then it stopped. And it leads on out over into the two witnesses. The elect are done gone. They're in the thunders. They're done gone. They're nowhere around there. And when we come down through there and describing deity, step by step, if you missed where you left, I don't know what to tell you. The world went on. And he said there'd be no more time, but the world went on. But in that there is those time gaps. The translation secret. He told John, don't write now to see the secret. How many of you are with me? See, don't do it. To the dead too, see? And a few more added additions there. Don't write it. Leave it alone. Like that. And then, the translation secret. It didn't see the tribulation, time, day of the Lord, millennium, gone, infinite, white throne, infinite. Should be no more. There was the beginning of the end. And the elect was gone. That's right. That chapter is a pivotal chapter. Should have been placed down there at 4, really, if you want to get to it somehow. But the Lord done it because he has a double witness in Revelations even. It changes and says it over again in a different way. And then adds more to it. So, in Revelation chapter 4, it's where the great translation really did take place up in there, we see. But still he done it that way. Because in there is the secrets that got him through that door, saith the Lord. Yes. He kept Satan from knowing where it was at. He kept men of all ages, not knowing the 10 and the 4 matched in there. 10, 4 confirmed. How many of you are with me now? They even got that in their talk. So there we are. And he will give you power that you've never seen before. And it is coming upon the elect. Keep your eyes open. As I say, by the time we close this thing out, and I feel the elect are going at a certain time, billions of souls will not have been saved. Witness to. This is our hour to strike. To witness and to bring in as many as we can. And every one of you that listen on my voice, every one of you that's out there, you've only got a few hours to tell people about Jesus. Some of you may be getting up in age and he may call you, which would be a very fortunate thing, because you really won't live until you die, and there's no fear in death. The fear is in living, saith the Lord. How can you fear if you're, see, you have no more fear then. You pass on to that, the light. So it's really great. I want you to stand to your feet. And all over the world, people are agreeing with me that truly, like you say, the time sands are running out. We're coming. He's coming down. He's going to get us. And I believe that. And the Holy Spirit will reprove the world, many of them that's in it, of righteousness. But we will only witness to as many as we can. How many of you really feel God? Jesus, he could probably talk, and you could hear him for 5 miles. But he could talk like this supernaturally, a 5,000 crowd out of a boat up on a hill, and they could still hear him, and no one's ever understood that. But he would talk. He was a mild-mannered man many times, until several times he had to go into the temple and straighten up and get on to them Jews, the vipers and snakes and so forth like that. He got out to where he roared a little bit. But otherwise, he was a gentle. And he would talk to the people. And he'd come to Elijah, and his voice changed. And he had a still small voice. There was a change coming. Elijah was used to hearing it different. But that voice, the small voice, that was to tell him the chariot was on its way. He is getting ready to go into translation. That's why the change voice. And the Lord said, then, to each one of you, that voice is coming to you. There are many voices, but only one like his. Never will be another voice like his. And so each one of you, get ready. Now this morning, I want you to shout the victory. I want you to thank God that he's kept you. You don't have very much longer to wait. I've got written on scrolls different things, other things that are coming. And you better prepare what years or months that you've got left, or hours, to tell them about the Lord Jesus and glorify him. Boy, he sent the Holy Spirit. Glorify him. Don't wait until you get there. It sounds like somebody that, you know, is kind of an insult. You wait there to do all your glorification and praising the Lord. You want to do it now, and then when you get there, all you'd have to do is wonder. Oh, isn't that wonderful there? Give the Lord a hand clap. Shout the victory. Amen. Shout the victory. Now, I want you to, everyone, raise your hands in the air. And let us glorify the Lord Jesus. If you need salvation, your breath tells you you're alive with him, or you'd be dead and yet alive later. All right. So he's as close as what your breath is. I love you, Jesus. You repent. Then you turn around and witness. You begin to read the Bible, and you do that. You get back in here, and God will bless your heart. I prayed for the sick in almost every service. I don't know what I'll be doing after this, you know, in the services. But you will get back in one of these lines. But you give your heart this morning to Jesus, and you get back in here, and we'll have probably tonight a film or something like that, a powerful deal on props, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. And you get back in these services. But you people renew yourself. You know, at the end of the age, the people changed before the change came. And I want all of this on the cassette. This is all going out on the cassette. There was a change. It's like the great eagle that renews his strength and mounts up after a long waiting in the mountains and sheds his feathers and so forth, and he rises back with great power. Well, the elect, they are going to have to renew. Even the very greatest and wonderful saint is going to have to renew himself in restoration, saith the Lord, and be restored to the original place that was given in the scriptures, and then he will be where I want him. That's right. Now, and all of those listening to this cassette, may there be such a pouring out on you and supply, miracles and wonders, and whatever you need until you cannot hold it, and it'll run over, and your cup runneth over, and if you wait long enough, saith the Lord, it will run over. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. You never never know what's on one of those films when you jerk them out. It's at many events, and we put them on there. I tell you, we can't even show what really is happening because I don't think it allowed to be on there. But you got enough. Those things are happening over the world in different places, more so they are in some places there, and everything. So God's power is really great. Now, I had a letter coming out. I'm working so fast, I don't want to let my people down after all those years. I'm trying to catch up when I do take some time off. Now, what I'm going to do is, you remember the message I finished this morning. Well, I'm going to put, technician, you're going to get this down right now. You'll probably get it all anyway. And by the way, Mother Shipton had a lot more to say about how the women would be, as well as men too at the end of the age. Now, I'm putting a P.S. on this morning's message. June 28, 1992. And we'll add it to the end of the broadcast that they'll be listening to then. Just before I entered the pulpit, two great earthquakes, worse than 40 years, struck California. The technician's son was knocked out of the bed, and he lives in Arizona. Remember when I told you when it reached Arizona, it was getting closer? How many of you remember that? It was going to affect Arizona, and it rattled all the radio things around in the radio shops there, their microphones and so forth. Said, what in the world? A big one hit in there. And this morning, now, you remember, there was a lunar eclipse, and we had those earthquakes that hit in California, two of them big right there. Now, if they wrote this down here, I told them real fast as I was speaking, I don't know exactly when this is here. On June 15th, the partial lunar eclipse that happened then. Now, June 30th, a solar eclipse hits, and between the two came these earthquakes. That's up in Celestials. I told you, would show you what was going to take place in there. I'll put that in there, too. That's exactly right. Between the two eclipses come those earthquakes. We get down. Now, the two great quakes they struck in Southern California, biggest 40 years in Yucca Valley, Big Bear. Now, do you remember the scroll on the young man, 17 years old? Do you remember? I said, he's the only one that mentioned Arizona and the upper states. That's why I put him in there. When God showed me L.A. was going in the sea in parts of California in the sea, I saw the cars. I saw the type of buildings and bridges going in there and the tidal waves and fire in the sea at the time. Different, a little different he did. But it's coming. It's supposed to be before the end of this century. And between now and then, it's coming. It's coming. Now, in Southern California, it even named Big Bear, shook Nevada, Boulder Dam. She's getting close to that vision, you see, and just ripped her right down through there. Now, 1993, we'll set up. We're going to see some of the strangest phenomena in nature and everything we've ever seen, and the most deception probably that people cannot see, but it'll be there. And 93 is another celestial year that you want to watch as it leads on out. But we're entering up in those years in the earthquake areas. God is shaking everything. And they said it's the strongest that they've ever felt out there. What is he trying to do? He's trying to ask a few people to if they don't have a place, get in a tent somewhere. Amen. That's going in there. How many of you believe that? And so we're adding that to this morning's broadcast. When I first entered the pulpit or just before I got here, two great ones, not the other two in April, but two great ones hit California. And the power would have hit in Los Angeles at a level that see probably there, but it hit out. And Big Bear is the one we mentioned. Go back to that script on that, and you'll find out where you mentioned Big Bear there. And I mentioned Arizona there and so forth like that. And then, as ironic of the things, this was done probably a month or so ago. And it's been in office up here. It was mailed to the nation Thursday and Friday. And it takes about 4 days. Yours will be mailed Monday. And right on the outside of it, God told me to put earth shaking. And this was a long time ago when he wrote this. It was the next letter that was coming. And look what hit out there. Earth shaking. And on the inside is special articles on the great earthquakes and so forth that I said 25 years ago. How in the world? What did God do that for? He's going to remind you when you read this letter, you better believe it. It's going to come to pass. So, you go in the office. They got them in office and had them there for weeks up there, and they don't mail them out. The nation's getting it right now, but you folks are so close, we mail it Monday because it doesn't take very long to get there. So about Tuesday, you'll have one of them and for your own there. So I'm going to add that to there. You see, we're at the end of the age. They can have these big parties. They can have these big dancing spells. And they can do all this drinking. They won't. They can have all these orgies. They won't. And they can have all of this semi-God. They won't. That's what they won't, saith the Lord. Oh, my. They want a semi-god.
You know, back they want an imitator. They want one that looks just like God, yeah.
How many of you believe that?
Yeah,
but he's not. He'd be just like his word, saith the Lord, and not like a human or a person upon this earth would act and do. He would be God. How many of you believe that? A real God. Now, I better not. I'll get off. So earth shaking on the end belt. They'll probably go back now by the time they can get this cassette, or it'll be coming. They'll see it coming in the mail, the people that get the audio cassettes there. That's all I've got to say tonight. I could add a lot more to that. But she's shaking in California. The three things that God showed me on Shadow Visions, and I put it there, we preached it years ago. Oh, many, many years ago, how they would start at first, how the second ones would start at first, and then how the third would set in. And after that, fire in the sea, and she's going to ripple off. So in this decade, and way before it's out, between now and then, be watching. Man, God is warning his people. That'll be a worldwide thing to warn the people like Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, I have written something else later, that when that happens, that'll be more destruction than hit Sodom and Gomorrah that went in the sea. I'll tell you, it's time to stay with the Lord, no matter what state you're in. Can you say amen? God bless your heart. All right. I want you to come down here tonight, and I'm going to pray a mass prayer. I've got some time coming sometimes in July. I'm catching up for the first time, I guess, in 25 years, and I couldn't fail my partners, so I'm going to keep the mail going to them, but I'm going to get it wrote all ahead and so forth like that. But I will have some time. But when we get it together, God will give us a good time. Can you say amen? I want you to come on down. I don't know exactly when it is coming, though. And I'm going to pray a prayer of unity. And thank the Lord, even though that was felt in Arizona, you was a long ways from the great shaking. Amen. I want you to clap your hands. I want you to praise the Lord that you're not in a dive with a bottle of whiskey in your hand. You're not in a dive over there with a Bible, somebody preaching false. Let's don't leave that out. Oh, yeah, a Bible, you like a bottle of whiskey. You do it wrong, it's wrong. Can you say amen? And a cigarette and all that and a running around and all these things. Be happy tonight that you are exactly on your way. Give the Lord the glory. Get you. You'll be mine. Listen to the end of that.